Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. If you're here every week, well then, if you've been away on holiday or whatever, and you're back again, nice to see you back. And if you're here for the first time, welcome, especially warm welcome to you. We'll have tea and coffee afterwards. I'll maybe mention that again in a minute. Welcome also to the folk who have joined us on Zoom. It dawned on me that I don't know if we've got a name for the folk who use Zoom. And I thought Zoomers or maybe Zoombies. And then I thought back to time in school and realised that the kids just add on IE to everything. So good morning to the Zoomies. And if you're listening to this on download, welcome to you wherever and whenever you do so. Now, I'm going to ask Francis Robertson, well, no, I'm not going to ask him. He asked me if he would say a word or two. Francis.
Yes, thank you, Bill. In 1993, four trainee ministers had the idea that they should be doing a little more to help those people in need, particularly within Eastern Europe. And so they got together, set up a small charity, and collected items to distribute. We'd like to join them this year, the Blythswood Care Trust, in setting up the opportunity to fill boxes, shoe boxes, with items, toiletries, stationery, toys, something for individuals within the Eastern Bloc countries and in particular Ukraine. 2.5 million boxes have been delivered over the past few years. And if, as an individual, you would like to participate in this appeal, then there is a sign, a poster, and a collection of these little leaflets. They give an indication of what should ideally be put into the box, into the shoe box. And please, if you feel that that's really going to be too much, then there is the opportunity that you can collectively put together items that Linda and I will be quite happy to assemble into boxes and make them available. Now, the collection is on the 7th of November. We will deliver the boxes to a collection point in Cooper. So we're making the Sunday the 5th as the deadline. But please, if you're interested, do have a look at the small brochures, have a look at the poster, and there will be an item coming in the October copy of our church journal. So it's the Blythswood Care Shoebox Appeal. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Now, I mentioned tea and coffee. Hannah at the end is going to be playing Ciacona in F minor by Johann Bachabel. I googled it. It is absolutely wonderful music, and there's a lot of it. It's 7 minutes and 45 seconds of it. So this week, if you feel you'd like to get tea and a coffee before the kids have got all the chocolate biscuits, or if you just want to slip out, that's okay. During what Hannah's playing, don't worry, nobody's going to be upset or worried or offended. If you're coffee deprivation, just go for it. Don't worry. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Descend on us. Descend on us. We gather in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come to unite us. Come to disturb us. Come to inspire us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Descend on us, descend on us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We gather in Jesus' name. Our first hymn this morning reflects that. Hymn 510, for those of you hymn books, it's Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him. The psalmist wrote, "Bless the Lord, my soul. He forgives all my wrongdoing and crowns me with love and compassion." Let's approach that compassionate God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we praise you for the privilege of walking with Christ and bearing his name, for the joy that he has brought into our lives, the new sense of purpose we feel, for the meaning and direction he has given to our lives, for the courage, peace, and faith that he gives, for the laughter and the love with which he has touched our days, and for the love that reaches out and goes on reaching out to fill us and transform our witness and worship and praise. We praise you for Jesus and the way he changes our lives. We praise you for a story of truth and grace and challenge. We praise you that your message is not a simple tale of things which happened in the distant past, but an experience of newness and renewal that we can enter through the Holy Spirit. We praise you for the moments when the Spirit has opened our eyes to the fingerprints of God in the world, opened our ears to his word from the Bible, opened our hearts to find his voice in the presence of a friend. We praise you for those times when we have known the touch of his healing and have been used as channels of his caring. for the knowledge that his teachings of forgiveness has taken away our burdens of guilt, of fear, of sorrow. His light has illuminated our path through the ages, and his love is giving us wholeness. We praise you in the name of Christ, who taught us that when we pray together, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, boys and girls. Troops are coming out. Good to see you. Hi, pals. Oh, yes. Getting comfy. Not too comfy. Find a seat. Oh, I like the lugs. Oh, they're cool. Are you getting the radio on that or something? Are you? Just to keep your ears warm. You don't have any gloves, do you, my friend? No? No, okay, no gloves. No. You've taken your jersey off. You're too hot? Yes, okay. Right, let's see. We've got some games up here. I wonder if you can identify any of these games. Oh, there's two, three, four, yes, anything. Who have we got? All right. I have to confess, a really deep interest in the first one on the top left. So my first game of... Right, anyone for the first one? What do you think? Come on, I like you. It's football, yes, it's girls. That's the Mighty Mo, Montrose, girls, ladies playing. Up, see them. Right, what's the next one in the middle at the top? Any thoughts?
Hockey.
Hockey, yeah, field hockey, yep. Top right. Top right next. Any thoughts? It's basketball, okay. Now, bottom left. I admit a confession on this one. Now let me just look. Yes, okay.
Rugby.
You can't identify the guy in the middle, can you? No.
Baseball.
I don't know. I'm going to stick baseball. Oh, no, wait, steady. I'm talking about the guy in the middle. I meant in the middle of the photograph. It's Scotland prop. His name's Ferguson. And I taught his uncle and his aunt. But his granddad was a minister. And they're playing Fiji. That's the team opposite. Who begin and end every game in a prayer. So don't let anybody think that Christians can't play football or rugby or any sport at the top level. They can. Great. Okay. What did you think the middle one was? Who said baseball? It's not baseball.
It's cricket,
isn't it? Yes. I think it's England and West Indies. And the last one. Okay. What have we got? What do you think the last one? Any thoughts? What does it look like?
Rugby.
It's not like rugby, although I've seen a game that's done close to it. Volleyball, yes, great. Volleyball, okay. Have a look, in which two games there can you see you're allowed to use a stick or something in your hands? What game, two games, what do you think?
It's hockey.
Hockey's one, yep, I'll give you hockey, right? Which other one might use a stick? The folk that follow it will tell me, you're annoyed I'm calling it a stick.
Cricket,
yes, it's a bat, it's a cricket. But yes, okay. Why in football is only the goalkeeper allowed to touch the ball with their hands?
Is it because if everyone could touch the ball, it could get into
more
kind of rugby instead of...
Well, you're right. If you pick the ball up, you become like rugby, and I think that's where rugby started, isn't it? A boy at school said, I'm sick of this. And he picked up the ball and ran with it and turned into the great sport it is now. Okay, but why do you think you're not allowed to... Come on now. Can you imagine Andy Robertson picking the ball up and just throwing it in the net. Would he be allowed to do that for Liverpool? No. Why is he not allowed to do that? Why would he not be allowed to just pick the ball up and run with it in football, but you can do it in rugby? Why would you think?
Because football's called football.
It would?
Because football's called football.
That's a brilliant answer, because football's called football. And you're not allowed to run about with the ball in your hand, except the goalkeeper occasionally, yes. It would be against the rules, wouldn't it? It would be against the rules. You need rules in all these games. Otherwise, it would just be, chaos. Can you tell me any place in your life that you've got rules? Yes? Or have things changed so dramatically since I left school? Yes?
School.
Yep. Where do rules come in school? Have you got class rules?
Yeah.
Class rules. Tell me some of the class rules.
Don't run around.
Yes, okay.
In the house.
In the house. You've got rules in the house. Oh, good. And do you stick to them?
Yeah.
Yes.
No throwing any footballs at the TV.
Yes, because my brother does that. Who does that?
My wee brother.
Your wee brother does that. Okay. How old's your wee brother?
One.
Come on. One. I think if he hit the TV, you'd be thinking, this boy's pretty good. At one.
He punches and smacks people.
Yeah. Oh, a rugby player then. In school, you've got to wear school uniform and bring your reading books in. Yep, okay. Now, in football, what happens in football if you break the rules?
You get a yellow card.
Oh, if you've been really bad. See, you're two steps ahead of me here. I was at the football yesterday and you had to give a few, fouls. Couple of times, yeah. You got a few fouls, and then what happens? You get the yellow card as a warning. And what happens if you're really bad? Really low in football?
You get a red card.
You get a red card. Yes. And what happens when you get a red card?
You're put out of the game.
You're sent off. You're not allowed to do it anymore. Sorry? There's nobody allowed to come on. That's right. Yes, you're not allowed to bring anybody on in your place. If you're injured, you can swap players around. But a red card, you're out and your team are down. Can you imagine Jesus saying, look, if you've done something wrong, it's okay, I'll forgive you. Do you think he would say that? Yes or no? You're not sure. You're the only one who's... Let me rephrase that. Let me say. Can you imagine if Jesus said, you've done something wrong, you are forgiven? Yes or no? Hands up. Yes. Hands up for yes. Three saying yes. Hands up no. One saying no. Two saying no. Three saying no, and the rest are not sure because they didn't understand the question. Right. Well, I'm surprised that Jesus said you have to forgive people. If they've done something wrong, you have to forgive them. Not just once or twice, but every time. He said you really have to forgive people if they've done wrong. Now, that doesn't mean you can go home or go to school and break every rule all the time. That's not on. Because if you do something wrong, yes, you've got to ask for forgiveness. You realize that you're doing something wrong and say, I'm not going to do that again. But if somebody does something to you, step back, think about it, and give them a wee bit of forgiveness. Jesus
forgives all the time. Remember that. Let's just say a wee prayer. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, that he told us that we had to be careful with people and we had to forgive them when they did us wrong. And when we do wrong, help us to forgive and do better next time. Amen. Right, what's the hymn next? It's hymn 522, The Church is Wherever God's People Are Praising.
Of God, this is never changing. Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. We now continue the service by singing hymn 541, "Lord, I Pray If Today."
Lord, I pray if today.
Almighty God, you call your church to witness that in Christ we are reconciled to you. Help us so to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may turn to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Every so often when I take a service and there are no kids in the congregation, I sprinkle fairy dust and make the entire congregation younger. Today, however, is the opposite. I'm going to ask you to put on your grey goggles and get a wee bit older. We're going back to the 50s and early 60s. We're going back to the pictures. How many of you remember growing up going to the pictures? Well, my favourites, you'll not be surprised to know, were cowboy films. And we've got a slide. How many of you remember any of them, even from the TV replays? We got them. John Wayne. Middle one, Jimmy Stewart. And the next one, Gary Cooper. High Noon. Ask me about the donut song later. Bottom one, Randolph Scott. And then Alan Ladd. And then my all-time favourite, Audie Murphy, for two reasons. He was really quite small, and so I identified with that. And he also, one of his big roles was Billy the Kid. So I was a big fan. I wonder if you ever took refuge behind your sofa as Geronimo led his Apaches against the wagon train, or turned your back garden into the OK Corral. Of course, you practiced your quick draw shooting from the hip, taking anything short and pointy as your trusty six shooter. Shooting from the hip was the quickest way a gunslinger could get a shot away. It was guaranteed to knock a baddie over at an enormous distance, even if your wee brother steadfastly refused to believe that you had shot him first. Shooting from the hip. I recently heard someone described as being able to shoot from the lip. It was a description about someone who spoke first, spoke without hesitation, and then thought about it afterwards. Simon Peter was often guilty of that. Peter spoke from the heart, not from the head. And actually, we have to be quite grateful to him for that. His quick tongue frequently drew from Jesus' teaching, which is special and eternally relevant. An excellent example of this comes from this morning's reading from Matthew, the parable of the unforgiving servant. The answer to a quick question to Jesus captures a theme, a key theme of Matthew's gospel, forgiveness. Forgiveness, it's a gift that's at the heart of all life together, as a church, as a community, as a nation. Peter asks, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, that was actually quite a generous number. The traditional teaching of the rabbis was to forgive three times and three times only. They were very specific. And Peter must have thought, look, if I double it and then add another one for luck, I could be pretty cool at this business of forgiveness. The reply knocks him back completely. Here is Jesus saying, there is no limit on forgiveness. There is no limit on forgiveness. Of the many gifts that we are given, our human consciousness is probably one of the most wonderful. Our consciousness, our self-awareness, our ability to perceive what is happening to us and around us. It provides us with a unique opportunity to stand back from ourselves and to reflect on our lives. Our consciousness allows us to live in the present. As we live our lives day by day, we can interact with what is going on around us. Wonderfully, through the gift of memory, we can reflect on the past to bring to our minds experiences we've had and events in which we have taken part. In much the same way, we, through our hopes and our fears, we can also consciously look forward. We can anticipate what might be in our future. However, it doesn't take a lot of reflection to realize that this gift of self-awareness does not come alone. It comes with burdens, burdens from both the past and the future, burdens which can weigh very heavily on the present, burdens which can trouble and distress us every day of our lives. The problem with the future is relatively simple to describe. We don't know. No one knows. But the weight of not knowing can make us anxious and insecure. It helps, of course, to share our fears and our concerns with somebody else, a friend. Together, the load can be shared. We can make promises, promises made so that we will be there together, committed to one another, to face whatever tomorrow brings. The past can be a little more complex. In the bruising reality of life, we all know that we have wounded others, and others have wounded us. We get hurt, and we hurt other people. We are affected to an incredible depth simply by life. The hurts we receive can and do mark us deeply. Anger, resentment, discouragement, defeat, bitterness, and so on. Once you start, the list can become endless. For our own well-being, we have to deal with them. We have to acknowledge to ourselves also that we have caused pain to someone else, pain which will linger long in the heart. And in turn, we have to deal with that person who has hurt us. As I say, trying to face the burden of the unknown future, we may have promises made and commitments made to each other. Trying to face the burden of the past, to allow healing, we must begin by accepting each other, by forgiving hurts inflicted, wrongs done. This is neither easy nor simple, nor is it helpful to say you ought to forgive. Forgiveness is not a direct order like ought. As the parable in Matthew's Gospel suggests, forgiveness comes from seeing something else, something much deeper, something that we can call the grace of forgiveness. One writer put it this way: we forgive people, not sins. We forgive and accept people in spite of their actions towards us. In other words, in forgiving people, we are not condoning their actions. We are accepting people in spite of their actions. Jesus is saying here, when you begin to understand that, you can forgive again and again and again. Grace grows. And if you think that sounds a bit wimpy and a bit feeble, think about the parable of the prodigal son. Think about the action of the father in the parable. He saw his son returning from a distance and felt compassion. Forgiveness is about taking the initiative, being active, even if that forgiveness is never put into words. It is very difficult to overestimate the importance of forgiveness and its twin, acceptance. Forgiveness is an ointment which heals the cuts and bruises of everyday life. It is the oil which keeps the engine of fellowship running in family life, in church life, in national life. It is forgiveness which overcomes divisions and brings reconciliation. It is forgiveness that breaks the iron shackles of revenge and recrimination. It is forgiveness that delivers us from bitterness and resentment. It is forgiveness that frees us from guilt and fear. We should be constantly praying for the grace to get better at forgiveness. It is indeed a great grace, for it springs from our understanding of the grace of God made known to us in Jesus Christ. As a young teacher, I remember working under a boss who never said sorry. It was not that he never needed to say sorry, he just never believed that he did anything that needed an apology. How often has anyone apologized to us and we have felt better about it? How often have we felt relieved, even happy, when someone has accepted our apology? We have all experienced the grace of forgiveness, pouring soothing oil on our life day after day. We have all felt the relief of acceptance spreading its light through our lives. Are there, however, some things which, by any measure at all, we find it impossible to forgive? We really don't have to look too hard for examples of behavior which, by any human standards, are unforgivable. And yet, every so often, there are human beings who rise above the great wrongs which have been done to them. In a book on forgiveness, Richard Holloway, the former Episcopal Bishop of Edinburgh, wrote about visiting Nelson Mandela's prison. I once stood outside the cell he had occupied on Robben Island and saw the thin mat on the cold floor on which he had slept for 18 years and was choked by the enormity of his graciousness. Those are conditions that normally produce enraged avengers, whose actions we deplore, yet whose embittered logic we can understand. The enormity of forgiveness flowing from such conditions is impossible to understand. It is the insanity of grace. And we hear it in the voice of the crucified, forgiving those who are hammering in the nails. The insanity of grace. It speaks of moments of forgiveness in the face of the worst wrongs that humanity can devise. Times of forgiveness that defy all human logic. And yet, it shines grace beyond description into that deepest of darknesses, the insanity of grace. What a wonderful description that is at the event at the very heart of our Christian story, of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. That is where forgiveness starts for us. It is there that we learn that we are accepted in spite of everything. It is there that we learn that we are expected in spite of all the wrongs that we have done to others. It is through the example of Jesus that we learn that we are enrolled in the school of grace. It is through the example of Jesus that we are called upon to give as freely as we have received. And how often do we witness to that received faith in things big and small?
77 times. There is no limit on forgiveness. There is no limit on forgiveness. Amen. Let's take a moment to come to God in prayer, a prayer of reflection and dedication. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to teach by word and action the value of deep truths like forgiveness and acceptance. Help us live your Son's openness to all people and his willingness to accept people as they are. Grant that by what we do, we encourage growth, understanding, and perspective. Allow us courage and perseverance when forgiving needs done often. Where we still carry any old hurts and pains, and we find it hard to feel forgiveness, bring healing to us. We pray for healing, for understanding, and for acceptance, so that all may come to you freely and forgiven, united in passion for your word. Gracious God, it is in giving that we receive, in denying ourselves that we discover true riches. So we bring all our gifts to you, seeking no reward except to know you better and to serve you more faithfully, for in that is fullness of life. Receive our praise for that priceless gift. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue our worship by singing hymn 486, 486, Forgive Our Sins As We Forgive. We come now to prayers for others and ourselves. In this prayer, I have a response when I say, Lord, in your mercy, if you are comfortable, the response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father, we pray for a renewed sense of our being one in Christ,
and for a deeper sense of our belonging together and to each other, for a new joy in being the people of God, and a fresh delight in each other's fellowship. May our life together bring glory to God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new desire to help, care for, and support each other, a new readiness to give encouragement and thanks for all that we receive through our fellowship in Christ, for a new joy in accepting and affirming even those with whom we disagree. May our fellowship in Christ bring hope to our neighbour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a new sharing of each other's pains and sorrows, a new listening to each other's doubts and fears, a new desire to accept and offer a new welcome for all who feel that they are strangers. We ask to be set free from any sense of self-righteousness and from anything that might hinder the declaration of the good news. May the power of the Holy Spirit make us new. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that can live with diversity, with the tensions caused by those we think are different, for a church that can welcome all those with different hopes and fears, different visions and dreams, different songs and prayers. We ask for God's grace to blend them into one body in Christ. May our oneness in Christ bring glory to God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that will not be afraid to stand for the truth, for a church that will always be seeking new words and new ways of making the gospel known. We pray for a church that never settles for second best, that is always committed to declaring new life in Christ. May the joy of Christ flood into every part of our life together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a church that is concerned for those who are lonely and rejected, reaches out to those who are bitter and lost, for those whose lives are filled with sadness and sorrow, for those who feel defeated and of no value, for a church concerned with the hungry and the starving, and the needs of a nation that needs to retrieve its faith in you. May the power of the Spirit give us wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves and our longing to be open to the work of the Spirit and to allow him to change all that we see and all that we do in Christ's name. We ask for freedom and joy in our witness and a deeper experience of being one with Christ, for a peace and a courage and a hope that lead others to a knowledge of Christ as Lord. May the Holy Spirit use us in ways we never expected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is hymn 251, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you.
Our service here has ended, and we journey out into the world. As you do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always.